You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
As I'm sure you know by now, about 20 minutes ago, New York Governor Eliot Spitzer announced his resignation at his Midtown office. Joining me now for continuing analysis is Andrea Bernstein, WNYC's politics director, and Brian Lehrer, host of The Brian Lehrer Show. Welcome to the show. But before we get to you, I think that we should replay the governor's statement, and then we can talk a bit about it.
In the past few days, I've begun to atone for my private failings with my wife, Soda, my children, and my entire family. The remorse I feel will always be with me. Words cannot describe how grateful I am for the love and compassion they have shown me. From those to whom much is given, much is expected. I have been given much: the love of my family, the faith and trust of the people of New York, and the chance to lead this state. I am deeply sorry that I did not live up to what was expected of me. To every New Yorker and to all those who believed in what I tried to stand for, I sincerely apologize. I look at my time as governor with a sense of what might have been. But I also know that as a public servant, I and the remarkable people with whom I worked have accomplished a great deal. There is much more to be done, and I cannot allow my private failings to disrupt the people's work. Over the course of my public life, I have insisted, I believe correctly, that people, regardless of their position or power, take responsibility for their conduct. I can and will ask no less of myself. For this reason, I am resigning from the office of governor. At Lieutenant Governor Patterson's request, the resignation will be effective Monday, March 17, a date that he believes will permit an orderly transition. I go forward with the belief, as others have said, that as human beings, our greatest glory consists not in never falling, but in rising every time we fall. As I leave public life, I will first do what I need to do to help and heal myself and my family. Then I will try once again, outside of politics, to serve the common good and to move toward the ideals and solutions which I believe can build a future of hope and opportunity for us and for our children. I hope all of New York will join my prayers for my friend David Patterson as he embarks on his new mission, and I thank the public once again for the privilege of service. Thank you very much.
It was interesting that he didn't just resign. He emphatically announced the end of his political career. In fact, talked about leaving public life altogether. Andrea, are you surprised by that, or does he have no other choice?
Well, no. I mean, we don't know. He has a potential legal case still outstanding. We don't know what's going on with that. But politically, it would be absolutely – I mean, it's hard to imagine a scenario in which he could argue, having been a prosecutor and someone on the force of right for so long, that people should elect him and put their faith into him in him again. So I just think, based on the politics, would be very difficult. And I also think that there's perhaps a hope on his part that by exiting public life, he can get some privacy. I mean, already people are emailing around on the internet the photo of the prostitute with which he allegedly consorted. There are unfortunately probably many salacious details out there, more than some people might want to know, and perhaps it's a plea, sort of, you know, I'm a private citizen now, so let's not get all of this in the public domain. Hard to believe he would prevail in that argument.
It certainly struck me, too, the definitive nature of those words. As I leave public life, I will try outside of politics to serve the common good. And yet there was still that reference to the common good. And Leonard, as you know, people who've done much worse things from this have risen again, not necessarily to run for elective office, but to do things in the public eye if they feel that's their mission or that's their personality.
After all of the the brouhaha has died down. In this case, it was pretty much sex that brought him down, and that's probably more powerful than if they had found out that he was taking a little money out of the till.
Well, it was sex that he allegedly paid for. So I think that that is a different standard than a mistress, a sort of the allegation of the high-end prostitution ring, and then also the allegations that he engineered this series of financial transfers. He himself said, don't put anything in email, don't say anything on the phone, and yet he appears to have been caught doing the very things which he said don't do. So,
and he was an advocate against prostitution. In fact, he had proposed going after the Johns. He also said that his resignation was effective on Monday, March 17th, at Lieutenant Governor David Patterson's request. What do you think they'll be doing in these intervening days?
I think there'll be a lot of meetings between the top Spitzer staff, Patterson, and his close political aides. There were already discussions that began earlier in the week about who would be hired, who would be fired. Patterson has to put together a government and put together a budget. Usually, governors have a couple of months for a transition. This is a few days.
Well, a lieutenant governor isn't exactly the same thing as a vice president. How much in the loop can we have expected him to have been?
Well, he already had a pretty high position in state government. He was the state Senate minority leader. He's been in the legislature since 1985. He is the son of a very prominent statewide politician, Basil Patterson, who was the New York Secretary of State at one point and himself ran for lieutenant governor. So David Patterson is somebody who is very much in the loop and should be prepared to hit the ground running.
Many people have wondered whether he will be forceful enough, but he is one of the most liked people in government, and nobody's ever questioned his integrity. He's also, I've talked to him many times. He's one of the smartest people I've ever met in politics. That may help, don't you think? Do you think that he will be able, because of his great reputation, to be able to turn some things around
in
Albany?
It'll help. I think it's going to be fascinating to watch somebody who has been able to more intellectualize these arguments, as a legislator has the luxury of doing, rather than having to knock heads to get things done. And somebody who, from my many conversations with him over the years, I agree with you, Leonard, he is super smart. He's funny. He's candid more than most politicians who I talk to. He knows the details of policy, every jot and tittle. Now, can he turn that affability and that knowledge and that wit into leadership expected of a chief executive? That's, I'm sure he's really looking forward to the opportunity.
And that leadership means working with Bruno and Silver, two guys who have an awful lot of power. The events have unfolded in the middle of the legislative session. State Senator Minority Leader Joe Bruno held a press conference late this morning discussing the fact that the business of New York State would continue, including the state budget. Has Joe Bruno made himself to some degree a partner to David Patterson?
Well, they have a relationship. They like each other. There's a structural problem right now. Joe Bruno is the state Senate majority leader and now, or as of Monday, the lieutenant governor by virtue of default. But that could only last until November if the Democrats win, as many people believe they will win, one more seat in the state Senate. When you look at the demographics of the state of New York, it's been trending Democratic. There's a lot of enthusiasm in New York for a Democratic presidential candidate. So that is going to be a real tension over the next several months is that, and whether they can remain friends through that will be a real test.
Well, the New York Sun suggested this morning that David Patterson will not be able to leave the state over the next few months because Joe Bruno would then become the acting governor.
And apparently people had taken to calling Patterson governor whenever Spitzer was out of the room. So I guess he wouldn't want that to be the case with Bruno. Of course, Bruno himself is under investigation.
He has legal issues of his own.
So who knows if they're not both going to be gone by the end of the year.
Governor Spitzer didn't make any reference to his legal situation in his statement. Brian, do you have a sense of whether charges could be brought against him and what charges that might be? Or do you think a deal has been worked out to allow him to leave?
Well, there's been a widespread assumption that a deal was in the works. The New York Post reported this morning that he and his wife spent an agonizing night trying to figure out whether to accept a plea deal.
Supposedly, she was saying, don't leave, although it strikes me as an impossibility. There's no way he could have remained governor.
And I think he acknowledged that in his brief statement when he said, I have insisted that people take responsibility for their actions. I think he was acknowledging both that he set up some of the laws and bank monitoring systems under which he is now accountable, and at the same time acknowledging the political reality of the moment.
And that is the rub. He said, over the course of my public life, I've insisted, I believe correctly, that people, regardless of their position or power, take responsibility for their conduct. I can and will ask no less of myself. And that has been the nut of the problem for Eliot Spitzer since this broke, is that he couldn't really be seen as asking less of himself than he's asked of so many people around the state.
I want to thank you both so much for staying with us to talk about what we might expect to see after the resignation of Governor Eliot Spitzer. Andrew Bernstein, WNYC's politics director, Brian Lehrer, host of The Brian Lehrer Show.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Up next, we will look into whether 9/11 could have been avoided if the United States had pursued different foreign policy in Afghanistan in the 1980s and 90s. And then later in this hour, we will help Jim Hoberman celebrate his 30 years as a film critic for The Village Voice. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. We're also heard on satellite.